Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are still talking with the attorney for Cousin Eddie. Amy Zimmerche is with us. Cousin Eddie, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the individual in the Alec Murdaugh case who was one of many alleged providers of pills to Alec and kind of his go-to guy for heavy machinery and things of that nature. And also the guy that Alec called one day and said, meet me at the side of the road. And it ended with what Alec said was a failed suicide for hire attempt that ended up having Alec airlifted to a hospital with just like a scratch on his face. I want to hear about this. Amy, take me to that day. How did this all start?
So Eddie had been working that night that, and when I say that night, so Eddie, because of his injuries and pains, he, you know, has a different kind of work schedule. He can't, you know, sleep long hours laying down because of the injuries to his back. Mm-hmm. So he'll, you know, he'll tinker around till 2, 3, or 4 in the morning in his, you know, sheds doing work. And so he was actually sleeping on September 4th. I think that was the day that, because he had missed a call from Alec, you know, and Alec would frequently call him to help, you know, come, you know, clear a ditch or, you know,
sure,
fix a flat tire or, you know, just do little jobs. And Eddie is just one of those people. I mean, he would help anybody. He would stop on the side of the road and help anybody. Mm-hmm. And so he got a second call from Alec, which awoke him, and he said, hey, Bo, I need you to meet me down here at the side of the road. I need some help with something. Mm-hmm. So he brought his work truck. He topped in his work truck like he usually did and met him. And then I can't obviously go into the conversations that they had until he testifies, mm-hmm. you know, but they have a conversation. They have a conversation at one place and then they drive to another place and have a conversation. And I think that what's frustrating to me is couple of days ago, my days are running together at this point, but Dick had said something that, oh, Eddie, you know, gave a lot of statements. So did your client. But then he said, but then Eddie ultimately admitted to shooting Alec on the side of the road. And I was losing my mind because I said, I've never seen that statement and I have all his statements. And, you know, so that's misinformation. He's never admitted to shooting Alec on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly frustrating for me to watch Dick, you know, on the one hand, say he missed, you know, a 6'4" human being from 4 feet away, mm-hmm. but was able to sniper two people that he doesn't even know and not leave any trace or any evidence.
Yeah.
That's nonsensical to me. But anyway, so when they get to the side of the road, he ultimately does not agree to shoot him. I believe that the injuries are consistent with Alec falling and hitting the asphalt. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's just no way that a bullet went to his head like that. And quite honestly, what I truly believe is that Alec was called him to the side of the road so that he could kill Eddie, you know, plant a gun in his car, and then all of his problems would be solved. And then he would say that he had to kill Eddie in self-defense, you know, and look, here's proof that he killed Maggie and Paul, and then all of his problems go away.
That is a very interesting way of looking at it, where look at this person, he knows my property, he knows me.
Right.
Maybe it's something.
And he's gotten him involved in stuff, you know, and, you know, at first it was innocent, you know, with the pills, but then it, you know, became more over time where he really got him involved in this, you know, dealing drugs or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I, to me, and just knowing the kind of person that Alec is, and I mean, anybody can, you know, anybody can see, you know, the things that he's misled most people about. I mean, his best friend Chris Wilson, who's a lawyer, mm-hmm. was able to be misled for 20 years.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. But somehow my genius client, this blue collar worker who'll do anything for everybody, is supposed to, you know, be smarter than all of those other people.
Sure. I mean, was there ever any evidence of a gunshot ever taking place, or any sort of ballistics evidence that a bullet was shot?
I do believe that, yeah, there, a bullet was shot into the air. And I think that the forensic evidence is consistent with that.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, like, even Dick is so funny with these medical records, because he just wants to put in, you know, 2 or 3 pages, not the whole thing, because what the whole thing shows is that, you know, patient reports being shot,
mm-hmm.
not a result of a gunshot wound, you know?
Sure. One of the biggest questions that I had about all of this is the helicopter ride that Alec took on the way back. Now, I would think that when paramedics arrive after the report of the gunshot, they would take a look at him and go, you don't need a helicopter ride. You have, you know, scrapes. What was that? Was that something where Alec insisted and, you know, paid for the helicopter himself to ride? Or was there that bad of judgment on the scene of his injuries that they thought he needed to be medically lifted in a helicopter?
No, I definitely don't think that he needed to be medically lifted. I think that was all part of this kind of elaborate, you know, nonsense. You know, because, I mean, within minutes of being in the hospital, he's walking around asking to borrow people's cell phones so that he can call Eddie, you know, and it's...
Yeah. And why would you be calling Eddie if this person just tried to kill you? And yeah.
Right. Right. You know, I think it's just part of this elaborate... you know, another part of just this elaborate scheme that he has, you know, keeps trying to put into place.
How did
to make things, you know, bigger than they are?
How did Eddie leave him that day when they were in the vehicle?
Oh, he took off. I mean, as soon as he got the opportunity to, he had the gun in his hand and he took off.
So did Alec provide the gun? Was it Alec's gun that was there?
It was, and another interesting question that I hope will come out through this cross is, you know, is this another gun that he didn't tell Sled about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because I didn't see it on any of the gun inventories from, you know, from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, it's a constant pattern with him, Alec, of just not telling him the truth, embellishing, lying, misrepresenting, you know, and then somehow always coming out with other people getting in trouble instead of him.
I don't know if you can answer any of it, but Alec, when they got in the vehicle, is this something where it seems that Alec originally did want him to actually kill him, or was this something else?
I don't know that I can answer that, because obviously I wasn't there. But you know, I can tell you, it's not something Eddie ever agreed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know that I can answer that.
Sure.
Question.
Sure. Did Alec and Eddie ever have communication after this incident happened?
Oh yeah. I mean, he called him from the hospital.
Sure.
Asking him for pills.
Back to the pills. Interesting.
Yeah. Called him from rehab, asking him for pills. So when he sits on the stand today and says that, oh, he really like got rehab this time and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you're lying.
And I know you work with a lot with mental health, and that's a big focus. And just with what you do, I know you probably run across, you know, people who are addicted to things all the time, as you've even said. I want to ask this, with what we've seen on the stand today with Alec, and what stood out to me was kind of the fidgeting, kind of the nervousness. Do you think Alec is still using?
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that he's, you know, that he's still being somehow provided, illegal medication that's not prescribed to him. Mm-hmm. I would love for him to be drug tested. I've had judges drug test my clients in court all the time.
And it's interesting. You know, is that something, why wouldn't that be something they would be taking a look at doing in this?
Well, because I just don't think anybody really believes that he was this big, huge opioid addict. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wants to keep saying it, but it's just, you know.
Yeah, it's always been a very odd point of contention. I've always said, where's the evidence that you were actually a user? I believe you were getting them, but where's the evidence that you were on them?
And even taking them, like, you know, just taking a pill every now and then does not make you an addict.
No.
You know? Is it illegal? Yes. Do people do it all the time, every day? You know?
One thing I was also wondering about in testimony that Alec was making was I would never intentionally hurt Paul or Maggie.
Everybody said that.
Which I thought was a very odd way of saying that. And every other time he said it, he always said, I did not do that. I would not do, but intentionally. And they were talking about drug use at the same time. And that was, well, did you do this? But it was, there was some sort of, you know, delusional state or something horrible.
I know. His choice of words is not lost on me. And I assure you that they are made with that intention. Dick did the same thing a while back in another hearing. He said, my client believes he's innocent. And, you know, like the way that, like, if I were to say that translation to the court, I don't believe he's innocent, but my client believes he's innocent.
Anyone can believe anything about anybody, but the truth is the truth and facts are facts.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's, put in all, if you know, if he's such an opioid addict, his medical records and blood records would show that.
Sure.
So put in all the medical records. Don't wave around the, you know, four pages that talk about a brain bleed. I can get a brain bleed if I fall and hit the asphalt right now. You know, I could crack my skull if I tripped because I'm a klutz, you know.
Prior to the roadside incident, did Eddie believe that Alec had committed this crime against his family?
No, I don't think that he really knew any. I mean, I think he was as shocked as everyone else.
Sure.
You know, I know that he wanted answers and got some answers to some of the questions that he'd asked and didn't like those answers. But I think that's the things that I can't talk about, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that up until this point, I don't think that he thought that.
Did his opinion change after did his opinion change after the incident at the roadside with Alec?
Yes. I mean, and certainly after, you know, his defense team through him, you know, tried to accuse Eddie of doing this. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I mean, that, you know, this, sure, did he make some poor decisions? I mean, absolutely, every day. Mm-hmm. Right. But is he, you know, does he deserve to be victimized like this and have things said about him and blatantly been accused of murder by the defense team? No, absolutely not. And, you know, and the fact that they just do it so carelessly and recklessly is incredibly frustrating for Eddie in particular. You know, I mean, he can't even defend himself.
And is Eddie, is he going to be testifying at any point in this trial, do we know, or is that still up in the air?
I mean, he was, I think it's still up in the air. He was subpoenaed. He was under subpoena by the state. He still is under subpoena by the state. So depending on how this testimony goes, they could call him in rebuttal, they, the state. The defense has reached out to me and asked me if he's going to testify if they subpoena him. I said, it doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. You can issue a subpoena and then, you know, then he'll decide if he testifies or not.
Do you know if Eddie does want to testify?
Oh, he absolutely does.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Oh, goodness. What an interesting web that Alec Murdaugh has woven. Even said that in court the other day. What an interesting web we weave. Yes, Alec, you get the award. You get the gold star for the craziest web that one could weave and still be alive. But my goodness, the amount of webs you took down with you. There was Amy Zimmerci. That's the attorney for Curtis Eddie Smith. Cousin Eddie is more affectionately known. Be sure to press subscribe to not miss any of the coverage that we're giving you here in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. You can follow me on Twitter, wherever you download podcasts, for my off-the-air commentary as well. I'm Tony B. Pod on Twitter. Until next time, Tony Bruschi, stay with us.